Hello, and welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I decided to record an episode today, right before Barb gets home from yoga. And one of the things that came up is Nick Wetmore sent me an article about a new DC imprint called Young Justice Returns with Brian Michael Bendis's Wonder Comics imprint. So supposedly they're coming out with a new imprint. Bendis is going to bring back Young Justice with Connor and Impulse and Wonder Girl and Robin. It's going to be Tim Drake as Robin. I don't know if this is going to be in continuity, but don't know how you could have this in continuity. I think it's going to be his own continuity. Like, everything within this label will be in its own continuity. I don't know. It's so weird. And then, so you got that book coming out. And Patrick Gleason, I think, is going to be the artist on that, which is a really good artist, in my opinion. And then a book called Naomi, which seems very new, is going to be done by. Co-written by Bendis and David Walker, and Jamal Campbell is the artist. Wonder Twins by Snagglepuss and Flintstones' Mark Russell. That'll be interesting. I like his writing. Drawn by Stephen Byrne. And Dial H for Hero, which is really interesting, by Sam Humphries and Joe Quijones. I think that's how you're going to say it. Cojones, you gotta have cojones. And it says these titles are gonna be a part of the wave of Wonder Comics and recent editions of Young Animal, which is kind of going on hiatus, DC Inc., DC Zoom, and the Black Label. And they said they want to appeal to all different ages, so all these demographics are gonna buy different books. What do I think about this? I don't like it. Because I miss the days when it was all everything was for everybody and you could get into any part of the universe and it was all tied in instead of segregating the universe. I like continuity. I don't like to play these games where they put things in different pockets. I could see like the Black Label, because if you want to have a mature label, you don't want it for everybody. But the Bronze Age, man, comics were for everybody, and they weren't dumbed down. They were just awesome. You could say that about every age, actually. So I get what they're trying to do. Probably if they segregate it, then more people might be okay. I want to get all the books in this particular line. And maybe that's what they're aiming for. Maybe they've done studies and they think they could hit different demographics or get them to all be all in on a certain label. I don't think it's going to succeed. I think of these labels, maybe one or two will exist after, 3 years after launch. And I don't mean to be pessimistic. People have done this shit before, and it just hasn't worked that way because the majority of comic readers are all old. They're in their 30s to 70s, man, and that's your demographic. And it's yes, there could be younger readers. But only if they have to. Like, they'd rather spend their money on a video game, a movie. And who blames them? Comics are goddamn expensive, you know? So, when we were kids, there was TV, radio, and comics. You had four channels to choose from. You had one TV, so you had to share it amongst everybody. You had a radio to listen to AM and FM radio. You could have eight tracks or albums. But there wasn't any computers. And there wasn't all this, on-demand shit. So comics were very viable to keep entertained. And they were also like a way to read and keep your mind going without reading a book. Because you wanted to see art that goes along with it. Least in my case, that's what it was. I read a lot of books, but most of the books I read, I was forced to read in school. And I read a lot of textbooks because I had to. But when I wanted to read because I wanted to read, it was a comic book. And that's just the format that I've always enjoyed. The art and the pictures. And I always will enjoy it. That it's part of my life, comic books. And I have to feed Harley in about half an hour. So I'm gonna have to take a pause for the cause in a bit. But that's how I feel about it, Nick. I think it's cool that they're gonna bring Young Justice into that team, which was really like Geoff Johns' Teen Titans. The Young Justice that first came out by Peter David was Superboy. It was a different Superboy. It was Robin and Impulse. I think those are the original characters. And then they got like little Lobo and a bunch of other characters. A girl that I don't even remember, but she was like a mist. They had an archer. Several different characters that were in Harley Quinn. Not Harley Quinn, that's my daughter, my dog. She's playing with her squeaky toys. But yeah, I don't like them to put all these pockets together, and I'm all in. I buy all the DC. I'll be in all these different pockets, and I may feel different once I actually get to read them. I did read the first Black Label, and I was impressed. Not because there was Bat Wang. I was happily surprised there was Bat Wang because I sold it for $68. Bought it for like $4.11, and turned quite a profit on it. But I still have two. I have one of each cover, and I'm not going to sell them. I had just come across one extra copy, and I just sold it and shipped it off. But I ate the cost on the shipping, and I was real anal about the shipping because of the magazine size. I wanted to go US Postal Service Priority Mail, and the envelopes are just. Man, if you want to pat them down and put like a board on top and a board on back, and I mean thick cardboard, I don't mean it's so tight fitting because it's because of its magazine size. And I thought I'd just get like a large box and ship it in there with a lot of peanuts and boards around it protecting it because I no, people are anal that buy comics, so I wanted to give it in the best shape that was possible and get it there as fast as possible. We'll see how all that turns out. But because of that, I didn't really make that much money. So, cause if you ship it like I did, that was 18 fucking dollars to ship. Yep. And so you got $68 minus 18. That was, and then minus the $4.11, and that was my profit. But still a good sale. And I read it last night. And during my first read, I read it wrong, and but I liked the way I read it, so I had to do a double take on it. But it has some very interesting things that are going on, and the narration is kind of weird. I didn't like the fonts of the narration. I love the art. Lee Bermejo, who was also a writer because he wrote a Vertigo title. I can't remember what his title titled. It was kind of like a Fight Club in the future. He also wrote We Are Robin. So he's got chops. I mean, he could do both, in my opinion. But he did a fantastic job on the art. It just looks beautiful. And I think going with the magazine size with the prestige format, which is the square binding and the thick cover, was a really good choice. It's very interesting. I don't think it's going to sell in mass quantities as if you put it in comic format, but it makes the format really interesting. And people are going to struggle with how do I store it, but they do sell magazine boxes. And in reality, if you're a hardcore collector, you should get a magazine box because there's so many magazines that are lovely. The Marvel mags of the 70s and your comic book fanzines and anything that you want a bag. And you could buy a Mylar for magazines as well. That's what I did. And I put it in there. I guess you could factor in that. Subtract that out of my profit too, because I put it in a Mylar halfback and a Mylar bag as well. So those are kind of expensive when you think about it. What I need now is treasury-sized Mylar in backing halfbacks. But I read this, and it's like a voiceover as Batman is pretty much in an ambulance, and they're gonna demask him. And the narration is through another person, and you're like, well, who's saying the narration? And that narrator turns out to be John Constantine. And what this deals with is the ramifications of Joker's death, and how it's affecting the mystical world. There's scenes with Deadman, which I was very happy to see. I mean, people that know me know I love like Phantom Stranger and Deadman. We had Zatanna, I believe, doing card tricks. It could be Zatanna. It could be Madame Xanadu. It depends on, because they're not named. It has a character that looks very young, but looks like the Enchantress in the movie. Like, it's not the Enchantress that you see with the green hat that's in Suicide Squad and stuff. It's the Enchantress from the Suicide Squad movie. It's drawn exactly like that. So it's very mystical. And I really loved it because it deals with like the death of the Joker and some kind of mystical ramification. And the other thing I really liked is it has flashbacks to an affair that Thomas Wayne had, which I thought was my favorite part of the story. Is he's having an affair, and there's one scene where Bruce is on a bridge, and the woman is saying, "Why do you always have to bring your kid?" And there's a scene where they yell out something, "Tommy," and it's Thomas Wayne. She's talking to Thomas Wayne. But when I first read it, I interpreted that Bruce was on the bridge playing with Tommy Elliot, which is Hush. And then I was like fascinated. So I like made up this story. It didn't exist in the comic book, but it was pretty badass. It's like, what if Bruce and Tommy had the same father and one became Hush and one became Batman? I was like, holy shit, this is badass. But I was a little tired when I read it. And then I picked it up again this morning and I was like, oh, that's just the woman's calling Bruce's father out by name, Tommy. But I was like fascinated. What could that do? And the other thing that's really interesting is that Martha Wayne, she's aware of this affair, and Bruce witnesses the fight between them. But the Black Label was a really cool story. I really liked it. I really liked the art. I really liked the premise. It was kind of choppy. There's some scenes that are kind of confusing, because one scene, he's jumping out of an ambulance and he's all busted up, and then he's on a bridge. He's obviously hallucinating quite a bit. And then he's falling into the water and all kinds of stuff, but really cool story. I really, really enjoyed it. I really liked the format. I was very pleased with it, and I look forward to more. And matter of fact, I know they're going to come out far between, but I'm okay with it because when I read it, I think I'll remember this one pretty damn good. In other words, it had Batman penis in it, Bruce Wayne penis, and people make fun of it. That's why the book was controversial. And I understand the digital copy is very blurred, whereas the print copy, you could distinctively see the dick in two panels. It's in two panels. And it's weird because you think that when Batman takes off his armor that he would have like underwear on there, or maybe like Under Armour shirt, like to absorb the sweat or something and not be like buck naked, but he was buck naked. And that's what caused the book to go skyrocket. And it's the first time I think they've explored Batman nudity. I'm okay with it. We're all old anyway. Nobody's gonna give this to their kids. I mean, they probably will, or your kids will get into your comics and say Batman and fucking see a Batwong, but they probably won't even notice it unless somebody points it out to them. Our culture, Martin talked about, I think it was Martin that talked about this on Comic Talk today, and it's just like, maybe it was the Weekly Comic Spotlight. Yeah, I think it was the Weekly Comic Spotlight where one of the per it wasn't John, but the co-host, sorry, I can't remember his name. I remember Drew, but I don't remember the new co-host for some reason. But I think his name is James, I think. But he made a point, he reads a lot of European comics, like from Rebellion and from Humanoids and the imprint Magnetic Press from Lion Forge, and there's several of them, and I do some Lion Forge, I do some Rebellion, but not the magazines, but more the single issues that they attempt to do but don't do well, so they don't publish them anymore. So I get into European comics, and I get what he's saying. It's like in Europe, who cares? There's a penis. Who cares? Big deal. Whereas our culture, and I think Martin talked about this as well. It's like our culture is so enamored by or things that, I mean, this is male and female genitalia. You're born with it. Why is it such a big deal? Why is sex such a thing that's wrong? I don't get it. But that just talks a little bit about the different labels. This one's a mature audience thing. They tell stuff out of continuity. You could even say that about the Earth One hardcovers, that they're out of continuity in their own continuity, I would say. So, in order to diversify, they're segregating their market. Now, whether people are like me and then decide to get everything, or the big, I'm talking the big collectors, like there's several of my friends that are big time collectors. John Mayo, who I think I've talked to in previous Spotlight, but I've never done a podcast with him. But he's a big time collector. Bob Bretall's a collector, but he's disenfranchised with the big two. So as he got older, he just said, "Fuck this noise," and he's going more indie. But that might happen to me at some point. But to me, at least in my mindset, it's like everything is there for a reason and it has history behind it. So like I even like reading the bad shit, and but once you start segregating and taking away possible continuity, I might lose interest. I don't know. I still get vertigo. That's a different line, and you could say they were out of continuity with Swamp Thing, Animal Man, and Hellblazer, and Doom Patrol, but they eventually brought them all back. And when they came out with Young Animal, the way I interpreted it, some people said, well, that's its own line and out of continuity, but to me, it was in continuity. Mother Panic was in Gotham. It had link backup stories with 3D Man, not 3D Man, Odd Man, who is a very obscure character. So I read these stories. I thought Doom Patrol was in continuity. Matter of fact, they had the Milk Wars, which tied them into continuity. So I believe I was right with that. I don't know about these new lines, what they're gonna mean. I don't know if I'm gonna like them all, but it's still history. And in my mind, each one of those lines will have its own continuity. So I'll start to adjust to it. So, am I excited? Yeah, I'm excited that some of these characters, like Dial H for Hero, I've always liked Dial H. And to me, they could stand on its own because of the way that you don't usually see them team up anyway, because it's a dial, and a dial could give you any kind of power, and that dial can transfer from user to user. Sometimes it could end up in bad guys' hands. So I'm looking forward to that. Would I like it to be a darker tone? Probably. Even though Sakamaji, they were not a darker tone in the past. They were a darker tone in the 2000s. I think as China Melville did one. And I can't remember who did Hero. It wasn't even called Dial H. It was called Hero. That one, was it Dan Slott or was it? God, it was one of those writers. It wasn't Dan Slott. It was. I'll give you the writer. I always get Dan Slott and this guy confused because Dan Slott did do some stuff at DC. Hero, this fantastic series, 2003 to 2005. This is my shit. This is my Dial H for Hero, even though I love the Silver Age stuff. Will Pfeiffer in Kano with Patrick Gleason kicked this off. It also had an art by Dale Eaglesham. It ran 22 issues. It's almost 2 years. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Highly recommended if you're into the Dial H. And then that they did have a Dial H for Hero title. And then the other stuff appeared in Adventure Comics and House of Mystery, I believe, is where a Dial H of Hero. It was either that or House of Secrets. I always get them confused. So yeah, it should be a cool line. Really dig it. So having said that, I'm going to dive in just to a few questions. I have a lot that I haven't answered. So I'm going to get with it. Martin, and I've talked about it, listened to Comic Talk today. He took a recent hiatus, like almost a week off. Seemed longer than that. When you listen to podcasts, like expect 3 a week, and then you go away for a week, it seems like, holy crap, it's been weeks. But in reality, it wasn't that long. Martin says, do you feel terrible about destroying the environment by buying all those print comics? No, I don't. I think print is good. I think it stops these huge fires during global warming, because when all the trees catch fire, I have all these processed, I've reduced some of the trees so they're not as flammable, and they're in mylar, so I think it might protect it just a little bit from being flammable. I don't know. I don't feel bad about it. Paper, I love paper. I think digital's doing more harm. It's lighting and stuff is corrupting people's brain. That's what I think. And it's hurting people's eyes. I think they're gonna lose their eyesight quicker. And I think there's a lot of other things with rest that I've been reading that the lighted screen causes you to have sleep disorders. So you have your own problems in the digital world. Also, your favorite movie should be. This was one where he asked me a question, or somebody asked me a question about Waterworld versus Road Warrior, like which one I would rather be in. And I think I said Road Warrior. And he said, you should be Waterworld because paper is like gold there. No, I'd rather be in Road Warrior because there's dirt and there's ground. And in the water, you could be open water. Once you fall in, man, you're done. You don't have a chance. That's what how I feel. Also, if your paper fell in the water and got soggy, it's gone. And if you're in a dry heat in non-moisture environment because of the apocalypse, your comics will last longer. So he also asks, also, what Charlton character do you wish would make a comeback? I wish them all to come back. I'm happy that Peter Cannon is coming back to Dynamite because the first series was phenomenal, the Dynamite series, and he's had a journey. For some reason, DC must have expired their Peter Cannon Thunderbolt license because Dynamite grabbed it. But they seem to still have, the Question and Peacemaker. And Nightshade, Blue Beetle, all the Charlton action heroes, Judo Master. I haven't seen Judo Master in forever. A matter of fact, he's the one character that we saw in Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I do not remember seeing him anymore. I'm gonna have to do research, because Judo Master was always like when he. I first saw Judo Master at Kmart in a modern comic reprint, and I was like, this is badass. Plus, he has a sidekick. They're both like kung fu judo experts, and it was awesome. So, and Judo Master is a character that I don't think can that matches up to anybody in the Watchmen, which is interesting. Because you did have Judo Master. You had Dr. Manhattan going to Captain Atom. I would like to see Captain Atom get an ongoing. Like, I've always thought of all the titles that there's two titles that really stood out to me with the Charlton characters. The Question by Denny O'Neil. And Captain Atom's run by Kerry Bates. And Captain R Atom has had longer runs. He's had several relaunches, and I've enjoyed them all. I've enjoyed all the minis. So I think in terms of strength, I think Captain Atom has a lot of potential. And if I had to pick one, I would go with God. I would love to see Question though, Vic Sage, not Renee Montoya Question. And I'd want him in Hub City because to me Hub City was worse than Gotham, and very interesting. A Judo Master would be good. A Peter Cannon we're getting. A Blue Beetle would be awesome. That wasn't Jaime. Nightshade, it would be cool to see again in the Suicide Squad. That's where she shined. Peacemaker would be very cool. He was in his mini, and that was pretty much it outside of Checkmate, Paul Cooperberg's Checkmate. I don't know. I like them all. I like them so much. Who would I like to see coming out the for an ongoing? I think Captain Atom would be the strongest. For a mini, God, I'd like to see a judo master just because I haven't seen it. I'd love to see a question ongoing, but I'll go with Captain Atom if I could pick one, okay? But I'll buy them all, buy every single one of them. What would you say is, this is also from Martin, what would you say is the defining writer and artist for the Golden Age, Silver Age, and Modern Age? Just pick one for each. That one's tough. But for artist, I'm gonna throw out some craziness because I can't. It's not even documented. I wish it was in my database, but this is when they didn't put names. Yeah, I'd have to do some research, but I would go with the artist that was drawing Black Hawk. And it's really hard to. And I'm talking around the issue 49 and 51. Those early issues, and I don't know who drew them. Somebody told me their name at one point, and I just been, when I see this art, I'm just like blown away. It's like awesome art. So I'm gonna have to find this guy's name, especially the cover artist. Like, it's phenomenal, man. This is definitely Golden Age. As far as writing goes, I'm gonna have to go to oh man, there's so many to choose from, but I'm gonna go with Jerry Siegel. I'll go with Jerry Siegel because those early Action Comics, they are phenomenal. They're phenomenal stories. In my opinion, they're better than Batman. But that's just me. But I like Batman more. But these stories were just, they were phenomenal. So, yeah, I'll go with Jerry Siegel. And I would be interested to explore more Jerry Siegel. Like in the documentary, they mentioned, like, after Superman, they lost Superman to DC. They came out with another character, and that character seemed really odd and interesting. And I would like to try it. It was Siegel, and Schuster, Joe Schuster. But as far as art, I'd have to find out who drew. Man, that's gonna drive me crazy. Let me see artists that drew Black Hawk in the Golden Age. Let me Google it, 'cause I'll remember the name. And somebody's got to put these in my database so I could give them credit where credit's due. Hopefully it will. He's created by Will Eisner, co-created. But the artist that blew me away. Oh man, I'm not gonna find it. Reed Crandall. That is my artist right there. Thank goodness. So when Shadera joined the armed services in 1942, Reed Crandall took over as artist. And it will last until 1953. Yep. And then Jim Steranko has observed made he made said while Chidera made Black Hawk the best seller, Crandall turned it into a classic. So that's coming from Jim Steranko, and I agree with him, man. This is Reed Crandall is my golden age artist. I didn't have much time to think about it, but now that I've been buying a lot and comparing it with at least a lot of the golden age from Freedom Fighters and Phantom Lady and Police Comics and All-Star Comics and Flash Comics, all the stuff that I have read, Reed Crandall is the guy that I'd go with. So we'll go with Schuster and Reed Crandall. The Silver Age, definitely you gotta go with Jack Kirby as the artist and the writer in the Silver Age. I would go with Kerry Bates for early Superman. Maybe he's like Bronze Age though. I don't know. Writer wise, Bronze Age, Steve Gerber is my favorite writer. There's so many to choose from, but Steve Gerber from Defenders, I would definitely have to choose. And artist Jack Kirby for the Fourth World. So Jack Kirby's got 2 years, but he's created a lot of freaking characters. And I didn't always appreciate him. It's something that grew on me. Modern era. Oh man, that's tough. You go with George Perez, or do you go with Todd McFarlane? That one's tough, man. As far as artists go. Oh, I think modern age. I'll go with Norm Breyfogle for his work on Batman, and he also did the Prime. That's what he's known for. But he's my favorite, so I'll go with Norm Breyfogle. And in terms of modern age writers, I'll go with Alan Grant. For his work on Batman and for his work on Legion, Legion. That I just loved. And I just love when he was doing Batman. So I'll go with Alan Grant and Norm Breyfogle. They work together too, so it's kind of cheating, but I hope that answers your question. The one that I had to look up just because I always forget him and my database doesn't credit that period of time of Black Hawk. But Reed Crandall, man, holy crap. It's just amazing. And there's so many other artists that, you know, like I didn't go into Neil Adams or Aparo or Steranko. I mean, there's so many great people, but I'm going to go with Alan Grant, Norm Breyfogle, Jack Kirby, Steve Gerber for Bronze Age, Kerry Bates, and Jack Kirby. So Jack Kirby took 2 decades. I mean, two ages of comics, and Reed Crandall and Schuster. I always get their names confused. But did I confuse it again? Siegel, Jerry Siegel. I always get their names swapped, Schuster and Siegel, but it's Siegel, the writer of Superman. And you'd almost go with, you know, like Plastic Man, but I haven't read a lot of Golden Age Plastic Man. I want to. Jack Cole, C.C. Beck. Captain Marvel. There's so much more I want to explore. Hopefully, I'll have time to do more of that exploration. That's what I want to do. Great questions, Martin. Great questions. And I'm doing this off the fly. If I would have prepared, I would have read these a long time ago and then did it. But I'm just lazy, and I'll do things as I think about them. Bill Bear says, "Are you looking forward to Batman the Outsiders?" Yeah. But I wish they were the original Batman. I wish you'd throw Metamorpho in there and Geo-Force. You're going to have Black Lightning and Katana, it looks like, but not Halo. Halo would be another one. And then you're going to have Duke and. Why am I losing? Orphan. Which I like to call Batgirl, because she was Batgirl before she was Orphan, in my mind. But I prefer the original lineup. I love the Outsiders so much. But I think it's going to be a solid book. Great writer, great artists. We'll see. All DC comics are great anyway, so. I'm looking more forward to Freedom Fighters, and I think I've said this in a previous Dudes on a Map. Now I don't know if this account they we talk a lot on Twitter. I don't know if this account is two people or it's one person that writes a comic that's called Dudes on a Map, or if it's a podcast. I'm not sure, but I know I like talking to him. And it's hard to tell when it's an ambiguous drawing of somebody, and in other words, a cartoon and a name that you don't know who physically goes with that handle. Most of the people I mentioned are, their name is their name and they are who they are, and you know who that is, but. But this I don't know, so I could just say that I talk to him a lot on Twitter, and I don't know if it's more than one person that uses this or if it's just one person. But what is your favorite era for reading comics? He asks. His was 1984 to 1992, and with the Valiant relaunch in 2012, a close second. It is tough. If I had to choose, like, where I'd want to explore more of, I would choose the Bronze Age comics, that era of comics, just because I want to read more of those, and I like the style of writing better than any period. But man, the 90s were fun. You had Ultraverse, you had Valiant, you had all these independent, you had the death of Superman, Batman getting his bat broke. Kyle Rayner's girlfriend getting stuffed in a fridge. They did that in Cloak and Dagger. I can't believe it. Except with a guy being stuffed in the fridge. Cloak and Dagger's been phenomenal TV show. I'm so glad I watched it. I watched The Gifted and I loved it. And I said the next one I'm gonna do is Cloak and Dagger. And I wasn't expecting as much from Cloak and Dagger as I did The Gifted because The Gifted was phenomenal. And man, is it emotional. It's an emotional roller coaster. It is so good. So good. I'm on the last episode now, but really good. So at my age right now, if I could go back and if I wanted to focus on an era, I would focus more on Bronze Age comics. But as far as like the time to be reading comics, like just when the excitement was, when you had Image, Valiant, Ultraverse, Triumphant Comics, all those different publishers, plus DC and Marvel were like knocking it out of the park with all these different books. That was an exciting time, man. And 92's around there. Late 80s and early 90s. I'm kind of with you there. I'm kind of with you. That's a good era. But the 70s is freaking awesome too. What character from Marvel's new universe would you like to see a comeback in the 616? They've already sort of brought them back in Avengers with Hickman, some of them. But the one I was always close to because I love the movies, Dreamscape and Flatliners was Night Mask. So that's the one I would choose. He said he would really like a Starbrand to make a reappearance. He wasn't a bad character, and he has. Starbrand and Night Mask had a 6-issue series just like within the last 5 years, I think. And then they were Avengers for a while in Hickman's run, so you might want to check it out because Starbrand was in it. If you could put any writer and or comic artists from the current crop on any title, what would it be? Any writer or artist on the current crop of any title? I would love to see a Tom Scholey Fantastic Four. I know this is not for everyone, but you're asking me what I would want. A Tom Scholey Fantastic Four or New Gods book. I would just love to see that, and just have him write it and draw it. I think that would be awesome. He'd like to bring back Blade with Cullen Bunn and writing it with Andrea Sorrentino drawing it. That's a good choice. Really dark style. Cullen Bunn is good with horror. I'd like to see Cullen Bunn in the DC you writing horror comics. I think it would be really, really interesting. I think that's where I'm gonna stop because I've gone about an hour. I need to feed Harley and I need to come back later with the weekly reads. So thank you, Nick, for the questions. Thank you, Martin. You guys are awesome. Check out Nerdy Legion. Those guys could talk about paint drying on the wall and it's still fucking interesting. So check out Nerdy Legion. It's my favorite podcast. If you like Geek Brunch, I think you'll like Nerdy Legion. They're even more, as far as topics goes, they're more all over the place than Geek Brunch, because Geek Brunch kind of just does, we're all over the place. We have the tangents like they do, but we still have our comics, our TV, and our movies, and what are we eating. Well, they do all that, but they might have a whole episode about eating or crock pot cooking or shaving your balls. But you gotta check out Nerdy Legion. Also, thank you, Bill Bear. He's on the Nerdy Legion podcast network now, so you can check him out there doing a Gotham, sorry, a Batman podcast, the Bat Pod. Dudes on a Map. Check him out on Twitter. Thank you for your questions. Usually when you go to like a Twitter handle like Dudes on a Map, it'll have like an about, so you can see if it's a podcast or a cart comic or what. And they don't have it on their about page on Twitter. But thank you for the questions. They're all excellent. I'll be back later with the weekly reads. I've been really enjoying the talking about the 3 weeks worth of comics, 'cause I'm gonna be caught up very soon, and I've already recorded another episode prior to this, so I'm gonna get caught up fairly fast. What else do I have to say? Well, got my comics today, actually yesterday, and the DC foil covers had come in. There was a Green Lantern and Green Arrow and a Batman. The Batman I had to go to another store, and I still might get a copy of, but my store has been having bad luck with getting their shipments, and I don't know. Mostly it's due because of damages, like they'll send those back and then get replacements, and I usually get the replacements like, 90% of the time. It's just that 10, and there was a Batman foil that came in and I didn't get it. And I didn't want to take the chance, so I went to another comic shop right by the movie theater today to pick that particular book up. And there's seven comic stores in Colorado Springs, man. That's a freaking lot. That is really a lot. More than I've ever seen. And I don't know how they're doing, 'cause they gotta be taking business away from each other. You know, like when there was only three, it's like they didn't take business away from each other, but now they gotta be eating away at each other's profits, 'cause there's only so many comic fans. The bubble's gotta burst at some time. So thank you for listening, and I'll be back. And I love talking comics. I'll talk to you later. Bye bye. Oh, and welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads. We're coming back with the reads, the actual reads. My Rockies are losing, so I thought I would sit down and record the rest of this episode that I started last night. It's a stressful series, man. This Milwaukee Brewers. And this doesn't look good. So, I thought I would take a break from it instead of getting all stressed out and record this episode. So, we're gonna start with May 21st through May 27th. There's only a total of 15 comics that week. One Valiant, eight Marvel, one Image, four DC, one Action Lab. We'll start at the bottom. We have Aphrodite 9. And this is number one. And it was a free comic book day issue. And believe it or not, I was missing it. So even though I had read the Aphrodite series, I was in mycomicshop.com, said I can't be missing this issue, so I better order it. And I did. So that was a Marcus finds Aphrodite in a tube and frees her. The cyborg race and war with the humans freed her handler and then activated her to kill. Read this after reading the entire series, realized I missed it, and ordered it from mycomicshop.com. So I see I even put that in the note. I gave it a 4 out of 5. There were no 3 out of 5s, no 2 out of 5s, no 1 out of 5s. I just started at 4 out of 5s. Then read X-Men number 2. And this was the Marvel Unlimited one that I read. I don't have much X-Man. This is the story of Nate. And I started reading it, but I never finished it. But let's see what I own from the series, which is not much. I think I started collecting it late because it tied in with something. I started at 7 and then got it through 15 and then stopped again. And that series ran quite a way. 75 issues, three annuals from 1995 to 2001. So that, in my eyes, was a successful book. It must have sold all right. This one I don't know if I'll ever finish. I'm not sure if I'll just read it digitally, but I gave it a 4 out of 5. Forge dies, and Nate is being hunted by Apocalypse. We then get Marvel Knights 4. This is the Fantastic Four, a more serious take on them, obviously. 10 through 16. I really enjoyed this series. This one I am going to buy the physical copies of. I was reading this digitally as well on the Marvel Unlimited app. And you'll notice that I don't have a lot of, I mean, I have a lot of Marvel comics and a lot of full runs, but in Marvel, I tended to drop off whenever I felt like I was getting too much, or when they changed something, I would drop off. It's changed since then. I feel like I have to. Wow, two strikeouts in a row. Holy crap, with first and third. Oh man. So that distracted me. But The Psycho Man sets out to destroy the FF in Manhattan. He is defeated by Alicia, an invisible woman. Then Puppet Master works to try to heal his daughter's vision, and steal Sue's eyes, essentially, like capture Sue and take her eyes and put them into his daughter. The next story deals with Rama Tut, Kang. Really good stuff. This stuff I do want to own. So I will have to purchase that at some point in time. Magnus Robot Fighter number 1. This is the Valiant first incarnation, volume 1. It's not the Magnus that came from Gold Key. This is when Valiant first got it with Jim Shooter and crew. And why did I reread this? It was an attempt for me to start the Valiant Versus podcast, which I enjoyed the doing. I just lost track and it was too much. Every now and then I get this wild hair up my ass and it's like, I want to do more. I want to do more podcasts. But then I think about it, and if I want to talk about something, I could talk about it on Mike M's and just keep Mike M's going. I don't need to start a Marvel podcast or any of that. I already have a DC podcast. So sorry, I have to take a drink. So I was gonna start Valiant Versus again, and what Valiant Versus was about, and I got like a lot of mail on it. People liked it. What Valiant Versus, the initial way it started off was I would look at a title like Shadow Man, and then I would read all the volumes of Shadow Man. So, like if it crossed like four different volumes, I would read all four, and then I would compare and then pick the winner. That's what Valiant Versus was. Do the same thing for EXO, Harbinger, all that stuff. And, it was a lot of fun just to see like what the number ones were doing. And then I had this idea where I would talk about, well, what if Valiant Comet comes out and I compare it with another company? And that one was fun to do because I took Faith and compared it with like Poison Ivy from DC. And then I would weigh all the pros and the cons and then tell you which one I thought won the battle. But as much as I like to do it, I still like to be ad hoc and just do what I want. So I never took off from that, but I did start with rereading stuff. And this is Magnus. Oh, actually, this volume is the Dynamite version. So I think the Valiant version that I read was prior to that. This is the when Dynamite took over to compare the Magnuses, and I never got to compare this one with the others. The Magnus is a teacher with the wife or girlfriend that is pregnant. He is then rocketed to the future where Legia captures him when he is fighting robots. Very different take on his father. And then we have Justice League No Justice number 1 and 2. Brainiac assembles the Justice League to fight the four entities released when they destroy the Source Wall. He forms four teams before he is destroyed. Amanda found out Brainiac's plan was assembles a Task Force XI, so 11, which was the most powerful telepaths like Jem, Maxwell Lord, Multiman. See, it just gives me chills thinking about like these telepaths. Jem, son of Saturn, which I just completed his series recently. Maxwell Lord, who's introduced in Justice League International and has done some horrible things, and Batman sort of broke, I mean Wonder Woman sort of broke his neck at one point. Multiman was in Justice League Antarctica and was a villain of the Challenges of the Unknown and I think the Doom Patrol, but he's really interesting because he can like die and come back with different powers, kind of like Resurrection Man. Looker, who was the outsider, and many others, that she had him strapped and was using him to tap into Brainiac. So awesome. The Justice League groups on Kaloo, which is where Brainiac's from, to meet up with Vril Dox. And Vril Dox was from Legion with dots in between. This one of the sons, who is now going by Brainiac 2.0. I really enjoyed this. Me and Kyle broke it down even further in the DC Spotlight. So if you want to check that out, go to the DC Noise feed, look for DC Spotlight No Justice, and download it, and you'll have an in-depth talk about that. But that was a 4 out of 5. I then get into 5 out of 5s, and I read a Gravedigger. I didn't put which volume. Okay, so Gravedigger was launched from Action Lab. And I don't even remember doing this as number one. I remember reading number three. Maybe this was number three. But I don't remember. I put number one, but I think I meant three because I had to pick it up because I was missing it. But gets involved in a gun running hijack with previous associates and gets involved with a love interest that's part of that hijacking. There's so many double crosses in this book that makes it amazing, and I absolutely loved it. I give it a 5 out of 5. That is from Action Lab, Danger Zone. Highly recommend Gravedigger if you're in the crime noir. You will dig the shit out of this. This came out in 2015. I actually think there's another volume of this, and I'm trying to. Yeah, the Gravedigger, the Scavengers. There's only one issue of this. Maybe, well, this one wasn't Action Lab, so I didn't. I think number three reprints this volume actually. So, Gravedigger came out in 2004 by a publisher called Rorschach, and Action Lab then took over, and then Gravedigger came out in 2015. And it was 3 issues. And number three does say reprinted, reprints Gravedigger the Scavengers, the first appearance of Digger McCrae, printed in landscape format. That's what I read. I need to change these notes because I remember it being in landscape mode. And I was like, this is kind of weird because I have to turn it on its side. Fantastic issue, and it's a reprint. One and two are not a reprint, they're new stories. But I would seek these out. You have an option of getting a trade, which collects 1 through 3 if you can find it, and then or get the single issues, which are probably just cover price or less, 1 through 3, because I don't think they're worth much, but they're really good. It's by Christopher M Mills and Rick Burchett. Highly recommend it. I then rated a 5 out of 5, and this is disappointing because Dark Knight Metal started really high for me. Like, I was digging the shit out of it. And then, like, I gave it a 5 out of 5, I think the first 2 issues plus the prequels to Dark Knight Metal. And then it just dropped like a turd into the threes. So, Batman goes to stop Barbados with the Darkseid baby, but the Immortals know it is a trap. It introduces the Immortals, which have their own series, and it is awesome. Also had the Court of Owls, and it links to Hawkman and Final Crisis going on here. So it was a really good issue for me. Really good continuity driven. The Immortals were such an interesting concept. The concept has been around in DC, but the fact that they did this has made it more interesting. This was more interesting than the actual title, The Immortals, which is probably my least favorite New Age of Heroes. Wow, the Rockies got out of that inning. Milwaukee had a runner at first and third with 0 outs. And this pitcher came in, struck out 2 people, and I don't know what happened to the other, but it was awesome. That's great. So that wraps up May. And then we go from May 28th to June 3rd. This one had a lot of reads. This one had 29 reads. 2 from Monica. I don't know what her company's called, but Monica does digital comics on Comixology. She's a good friend of DC Noise and all my podcasts. Good friend of mine online. I've never met her, but man, I would love to meet her. I'd love to go to a ball game with Monica. She probably doesn't listen to this, but I'd love to go see baseball and talk baseball with her and comics. We got three Marvel, five Image, 10 DC, two Black Mask, and seven Alterna. So let's start at the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it. These were also the cheaper books. These were all Alterna. Amazing Age number 3, the heroes and villains in this comic book creation of a boy slug it out in this issue. In other words, it's a bunch of kids that kind of gain the powers of the comic book that they wrote a long time ago, and they end up fighting it out in this particular issue. We have Croak number 2, which is a horror-based alternate comic. The friend clobbered by the rock is still alive, but the croak monsters take him. They're called croaks because they almost look like frogs and they make a croaking sound. The monsters then pick the chew up. Oh, they. I don't know what I don't mean by them pick. They chew up one by one, and all that is left is the female. So what I think I meant to say is then pick off the crew, which is the people that were camping, one by one, and all that's left is the female. This series started out stronger than it turned out for me. Like the number one was I remember either a 4 out of 5. Croak is like a black and white, real dark tones. You'll dig it if you're into the horror genre. And then, sorry. Pause for the cause, and I don't edit, so I apologize. We go to Scrimshaw number 1. A post-apocalyptic situation where Japan seems to be the only free nation. Two partners, a samurai and some kind of telepath, go on an auction for an invaluable object, only to get attacked. But they do get the object. Man, that sounds fucking awesome. It was better. The me reading it sounds better than it was executed. But you know, to tell you the truth, I think this was the strongest one, even though I didn't give it the strongest rating. But thinking back on it, I remembered this one the most and really stood out. We then get into Lilith Dark, which is an all-ages book. She declares herself Queen of the Monsters and demands a party. The monsters capture her city sister, and it looks like she's going to lose control of the monsters. So that ends the 3 out of 5s alternate comics. We then get into the 4 out of 5s, and we have Domino Volume 1, Number 1 and 2. Why did I read this volume? Because I started reading Gail Simone's and I wanted to see if there was a volume prior. I don't own Domino first volume. I do own Gail Simone's volume. And I read it on Marvel Unlimited, and it was Domino's past lover is working for the government because he has the ability to predict things because he is smart and not a mutant. Domino goes to save him, and she ends up fighting a Lady Deathstrike. Really enjoyable issue. That's volume 1, number 1 and 2, available on Marvel Unlimited. I recommend if you have Marvel Unlimited, check it out. Especially if you want to get into, watching Deadpool 2 and there's Domino in there or X-Force and you want to get a little more fleshed out Domino story, give it a shot. Then I was reading, you could tell when I'm reading digitally because I had Convergence, and this is a reread. Now, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, number 1. The Legion has lost their powers and are with this bubble and are trying to keep justice going on. Telos opens the bubble and states they're going to have to do battle with other areas to stay alive. There's also some, romance elements that were established in that particular issue. Fun issue. The thing that hurt this title the most was them. Every writer tried to establish the same plot with these different characters, and the plot seemed the same across all books. But was it executed good? Yeah. Was it interesting conceptually with all the different time periods these heroes are plucked from? Yes, very much so. If you didn't like it, I would say go and reread this, 'cause you might change your mind. But don't read. I read it like as it was coming out, and I think I gave it lower rating because of that. Dark Knight Metal number 3 through 6. This is still in the 4 out of 5, so I guess I didn't slam it as much as I thought I did. Superman goes in the Dark Universe to try and find Batman, but only makes it worse. Some heroes in the Oblivion Bar find a way to find the remaining pieces of the Nth Metal. Green Lantern and Mr. Terrific are captured by Omar Sin. Superman and Batman work with Daniel of the Dreaming to try and get out of the Dark Universe. Kendra and Black Adam are working together on the Rock of Eternity. The Trinity is able to defeat Barbatos with the Eighth Metal, Nth Metal, and Xth Metal. Bruce thanks everyone and says not that everyone that now that the source wall was destroyed, that the danger is imminent and they will have to make the Justice League stronger. So that's how what leads you into Justice, No Justice, Justice League No Justice. And then I gave Batman the Devastator number 1 of 4 out of 5. What if Batman had the ability of Doomsday on Earth Zero? We had Batman the Dawnbreaker number 1. I still haven't finished reading all of the tie-ins, by the way. What if Bruce got the ring on the night that his parents were killed on Earth Zero? That was a pretty good one. Then we get Dark Knight's Rising, The Wild Hunts number 1. Very meta, but involved Detective Chimp, and that's why I gave it a higher rating. And it was meta because it was stating that this is what DC stands for, Detective Chimp. Some cool origin stuff with Rex the Wonder Dog, and had featured Cyborg, Flash, and Raven. We then get into Batman Who Laughs number 1. I can't believe I rated this a 4 out of 5 because I hate that character. He physically looks awesome, but the one thing I hate about that character is everywhere he's featured, everywhere he talks, he has these bubbles, the text bubbles, and his fonts are always black, and then it puts a dark ass red as the text on it. So it's dark ass red text on a black background. It's really hard for me to read, and plus I find him annoying. But I gave it a 4 out of 5, so I gotta go with it. And I think I started hating the character as time went on. What if I am going to get the new miniseries though? What if Batman killed the Joker and became the next Joker? So then we get into Man of Steel number 1. This is the Brian Michael Bendis Man of Steel. A new character from the past, Rogel, pleads to the entities of the universe, including the Guardians, to stop Krypton as they will do damage to the universe. Clark investigates arson, a lot of fires that are going on. And Superman takes down Firefly and works with the female fire chief to check and find out who's burning these buildings, who's setting them on fire. Really good intro to Bendis's run, in my opinion. 4 out of 5. The Wilds number 1. A disease related to plants cause brainwashing and zombification of humans. There is a safe house and runners that go to get supplies. So it has the running runners that do stuff, and Survival Fetish has the same kind of principle. One day, a runner saves an outsider, and all hell seems to break loose at the compound because that runner brought this outsider into the compound, and then shit started to go wild. So we then get Go West. This is an Alterna. It's up at the 4 out of 5s. A cross between Mad Max and Unforgiven, as the bad guy decides to settle down with his family, only to be hunted in the future from his past sins. Once his family is killed, he seeks vengeance. Sounds stereotypical, well executed, especially if you're into westerns and sci-fi. We then get Monica's book, Friendship Paradox, number 2 through 3. The friendship builds between the time traveler and the rich girl. The parents are kind of strange, and the governor may have a strange secret going on, and you find out later on what that is. They try to find the time traveler's mother, without impacting the timeline. The girlfriend has a boyfriend. The girl that she met in the current time has a boyfriend that may be able to fix the time traveling device. I want this book to come back and start publishing again because it's really good. Available on Comixology. Type in Friendship Space Paradox and buy it. And we have Adam Wreck number two. The boy finds an invaluable object for his new alien friend. The alien takes the boy to find his parents, and they're about to get eaten. The parents are. The alien offers up the invaluable star object in exchange for the boy and his parents. That was from Alterna Press. That was one of the initial launch books that came out. And when I read the first one a long time ago, and this is me reading it in May, the second one, really liked the art and the story on this one. We have Motherlands number one. This is a Vertigo title. A daughter grows up as a bounty hunter in her mother's shadows. In the future, she needs help from her mother, who is now in an assisted living location, to track down the latest bounty. Really cool premise, really cool execution, great art. Skyward number one. This is from Image Comics. Gravity is lost, and a girl grows up without a mom and becomes a courier to transport supplies. A lot of couriers going on in the comics these days. The father thinks he can fix the gravity problem. Some people like the fact that they can fly, and some people are making a lot of money. And you'll see in number two how that fleshes out. We have Survival Fetish number one, another runner. In the future, there are runners in Hawaii that are couriers. They are the only ones who can transport items without getting shot at. It turns out the main runner is working with a militant organization, and that's kind of why he wasn't being shot, even though he's a great runner. But this is really good, and it's weird premise that I've never seen happen before in this world where people are in buildings and they just have weapons and they shoot at each other for anybody trying to cross anywhere. So it's like no man's land in between different areas. They're ruled by certain people, and if you try to run, you might get killed. We have Domino number one, volume three. This is Gail Simone version. Domino, Cowgirl, and Diamondback take out a Russian organization that steals lumber resources. They then go to celebrate Domino's B-day birthday, where she is having some weird dizziness and discombobulation going on. The main villain goes to visit her on her birthday and seems to have the ability to negate her bad luck powers. Awesome. 4 out of 5. Great issue. Good job, Gail. We have then a 4 out of 5 regression. This is obviously a Geek Brunch week. You can kind of tell. Regression 2 through 5. The guy that was hypnotized is now regressing into a past serial killer's life. He kills several people and does not realize it. There is also an insect cult in his mind that has bug orgies. That's right, bug orgies. He goes to turn himself in, and then the cops get shot, but some unknown group captures the main character. We then have the 12, and the title's actually the XII. Seems like comics now, they want to use Roman numerals everywhere. A post-apocalyptic setting where a man, this is a 5 out of 5, the only 5 out of 5 of that week. A post-apocalyptic setting where a man is training his family to survive an upcoming winter in which they're going to have to do strict rationing because the land is almost dead for farming. A group invades and takes all of their supplies and burns their house down. The husband, son, and brother-in-law need to go out into the dangerous city to try to find supplies. Great stuff. We'll then walk into June 6th, wait, June 4th through June 10th, 2018. Only 15 comics that week, 7 Marvel, 5 DC, 3 Alterna. We'll start at the bottom, and there were only ca all of the books were 4 out of 5 that week. There were no 3 out of 5s, there were no 5 out of 5s, no 2 out of 5s, and 1 out of 5. And those 2 out of 5s and 1 out of 5s are very rare, because I pretty much like everything. I can escape and enjoy stuff. Wow, this inning is lasting forever. Oh no, this is the next inning. He still can't score. It's very stressful. Rockies have been winning some games, but they haven't been putting a lot of points on the board that they're used to, but they haven't been home either. So we'll see if once they get to go home and do some, if they can get some points. 'Cause they're off, their defense is playing pretty good. So 4 out of 5s, we have Convergence, Superboy, the Legion of Superheroes. Number 2, Talos starts a battle between the Atomic Knights and the Legion, but they find a way for a peaceful solution until they find out about Talos. And Talos had his own comic book right after Convergence, which after Convergence, there was kind of like they relaunched a soft relaunch of titles. They started calling DC DCU, YOU, and that lasted a very short time, maybe 6 months. And then that's when Rebirth started to get rumored, and then Rebirth kicked off. So that was Convergence, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes number 2. We have Green Arrow Annual number 2. Shows how Ollie got involved during the No Justice with Amanda Waller and talks about the box that Martian Manhunter gave to Ollie. Oh, I forgot about that box. That box is important. But and Ollie doesn't even tell Black Canary about it. I wonder if that's going to get fleshed out. I forgot about this. See, that's what this show's good about. It helps me remember stuff. We have it might even help me like recall stuff better because I not only read it and absorb it and write it down, but many months later I'll talk about it and refresh my memory about all these comics. Kind of like that, and it's going to be a different show once I get caught up because it'll be more like in one session and then me not having a gap between them. So it's still the same process, but I wonder what it'll do to my memory recollection. We have Wolverine 19 through 20, and I think this is prepping for a Geek Brunch Retrocast. Introduces Bandera, who is trying to stop a dictator in Cuba. This is the Wolverine ongoing that sort of happened roughly after the 4-issue mini by Claremont Frank Miller. We then get into an alternate comic, Scrimshaw number 2. So this one went from a number th 3 to a 4. They go fishing for a whale like creature, and the team gets propositioned by a group that is after them. Also, they are being hunted by the organization that wanted the device that they got in issue 1. We then get into Domino Volume 1, Number 3. That was the first mini that I read on the Comics on Marvel Unlimited app. They go fishing for, oh, what am I talking about? Domino's final battle with Donald Pierce to rescue her ex, Milo, her ex, essentially, whose name is Milo Thurman. She destroys the mainframe to take Pierce, and Milo dies along with the machine he's attached to. That was kind of her love interest at the time. So if you ever hear the name Milo Thurman, former lover of Domino, we got Trespasser number 1 and 2. This is Alterna Comics, a dystopian future. And there is a father and daughter that live in the woods. The father finds an alien and decides to eat him. And it looks like that was an incredibly bad decision. Yeah, it was a 4 out of 5. We then get to Justice League No Justice 3 of 3 and 4. After the Omega Titans destroy Kalu, they have a new enemy and Real Dox becomes Brainiac 2.0. Justice League manages to save many bottle worlds before the destruction that Brainiac had had. Green Arrow stops Amanda from nuking the seed on Earth, but the four trees grow and attack the Omega Titans. The Justice League defeat the Omega Titans by launching the seed into the Omega Titans, and his brother devours him. So they actually shoot the seed into another Titan because they're attracted to the seed, and the other Omega Titans just eat the other brother, and it kind of stops this war. We have Green Arrow given a device that can destroy the League. That was the one that Martian Manhunter gave him, which is interesting. And then Starro dies trying to save the Omega Titan. Oh, what am I saying? Save. Starro died during this arc trying to fight the Omega Titan. But I'm sure Starro will be back. I mean, they might have one of his seeds or one of his little stars will grow into a big one or something like that. But you could say in three or four, the death of Starro. We have Justice League number one, which launched out of the No Justice title. A new light beam from the Source Wall is going to crash into Earth. Luthor seems to kill Vandal Savage and take over his Neanderthals for the Legion of Doom. Martian Manhunter links the team in a virtual table when they need to meet. Nice Teen Titans preview as Damian forms a new team following the events of No Justice. We then get into the last 4 out of 5, which is Marvel Comics. This is probably a Clone Saga. No, this isn't a Clone Saga. This is me listening to a podcast called the Epic Marvel Podcast. And what it got, they were talking about Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz on Spider-Man, and I didn't have these issues. And I fell in love with them. And what it made me do is buy the singles after I read them on Marvel Unlimited. So we have DeFalco Frenz era begins as Spider-Man has a final battle with Hobgoblin, who is threatening JJJ to reveal he is responsible for creating the Scorpion. That's an important thing to always remember. Because it comes up a lot. JJJ resigns as editor and just remains the publisher because of that. Robbie is now the editor as JJJ writes an article telling the truth. Black Cat gets her powers from the Kingpin and is trying to tell Pete. Pete tells Aunt May that he is dropping out of graduate school. She gets really pissed at him, like wants to disown him. Spider-Man finds a weird device in Central Park that takes him into Secret Wars. So this is like right before Secret Wars and the black costume. And I forgot that Tom DeFalco and Ron Frantz brought that black costume in. So really cool. I hope you enjoyed the wrap-ups. I think next time we'll do another three. I'm getting close because all these books sound really familiar. I will be caught up soon. And I want to thank you for listening. Again, you can reach me at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, and that's spelled MYERS. So, oh, bases are loaded. No. This doesn't look good. So it looks like it's 2-0 now. Oh man. With bases loaded, zero outs. This is horrible. Ah, doesn't look good for the Rockies. We're in the This doesn't look good at all. We're in the eighth inning, so there's only one inning to go. We have to score like 5 runs in the ninth, like we did last night. We had to come back in the ninth, went into extra innings, but still lost. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com, and You can go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com, leave comments on those threads. You can send me email, like I said, at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can go to Facebook and leave comments there if you choose that to be your platform. You just type easily, you go into your search criteria, you type geek space brunch space podcast. And it'll bring up the page for that, and then you click on that and you click the like button. You could follow all the episode threads there, and you can comment on those episode threads there. And if you have any topics, questions for future episodes, you feel free to send them to me. They will get answered. So thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back with another one next week. So take care and peace out.